Good morning. Grace and peace to you from God our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to this time of worship. If you worship here regularly, welcome. And if you're a visitor here with us this morning, welcome as well. Pray that this morning you will experience God's presence in a new and real way as we worship together. We look forward to hearing Aaron Friesen share with us this morning on the theme of Christ, our foundation, as we've seen on the screen. As I was thinking of that theme, Christ, our foundation, I was drawn to a reading in the worship resources of the new hymn book, where Joanne Reander reminds us that it's Jesus that calls us to worship. And she writes, "Jesus calls us to praise and to pray, to song and to silence. Jesus calls us to worship. Jesus calls us to hearing and healing, to service and to solidarity. Jesus calls us to love. Jesus calls us to advocacy, to action. He calls us to justice." May we worship together in joy this morning. There are several announcements that I want to draw your attention to. I'll just quickly walk you through the bulletin. Some of them, if you don't take note of them immediately, you may miss them. So today, immediately right after the service, there is a congregation, a membership meeting, so that you have to, the agenda is there. Oh, I should also say Peter Thiessen has an announcement. Why don't you might make your way forward, and I'll just make a few other announcements here. The Care and Connect is on Tuesday, and starting next Sunday, the English worship services are going to be outside, weather permitting. That was already announced last week, but in case you missed that, German services will continue inside, but outside services for the English services. Okay, Peter, why don't you make your announcement? The bottom mic here, please. Go ahead.
I want to thank a lot of people who have prayed for my wife and Helen. And most people know, and some people might not know, that a month ago she had a big, big operation, and she's recuperating. She had lymph nodes removed, because they were cancerous. And she had a big operation, and they were removed, and she's been home now for 3 weeks. And a lot of people, every time I meet someone, they say, "How's Helen? How's Helen? I want to pray for her. I want to thank these people for doing that." And even some of the people didn't know, because she didn't want it to put it in a bulletin, because she would get so many phone calls and she wouldn't be able to get up off and get the phone. She's not supposed to. So, and the test came back negative. We were so glad. She needs to have radiation yet. We don't know when yet. But everything looks positive. It's going to take some time, and I want to thank every one of you. Many people I met on my walk said, "How's Helen? How's Helen? I'll pray for her." And that goes to show you what kind of congregation we have. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter, for sharing that. And certainly something to remember in our prayers of praise and thanksgiving. A few other things I was going to highlight. You'll notice that Pastor Randy is on vacation starting with June 30th, so contact Paul Adams during that absence. Then a few people have been asking me about when church choir might be resuming, and so there's an announcement there. I'm asking people who want to sing again, or those new people that want to sing, contact me about your interest, your intentions, and the plan is then to start in September if we have a good enough response. The final announcement, I wasn't even going to draw attention to it, but I noticed this morning at the bottom of the little insert, Mennonite Church Canada Nationwide Online Services. And the only reason I'm drawing this to your attention is that I found during the pandemic it was wonderful to be able to listened to church services from across Canada, actually across the world sometimes, and their Mennonite Church Canada is again having a whole schedule of different churches from various provinces. And so if you can't travel, this is one way to visit other churches if you have access to the internet. This particular, it starts this Sunday. Today's service is featuring a Manitoba church. It happens to be the Altona Birchcolor Church, where our pastor Randy started years ago, and he was probably in his 30s at his time. I looked at who the pastor is there today, and there are two young people at the age of my kids. I thought they were just kids. One of them is 41, the other is 37. But they have young pastors. The daughter of former president of CNBC, Virginia Gerbrand Richard, is one of the associates, and Mark Thiessen, who, grandson of Frank H. Epp, son of Dan Epp Thiessen, teaching at CNBC. These are the young leaders that are in that church at this point. So that service is today. Next week is the BC church, and it goes on throughout the schedule. So if you have access to the internet, watch those. They're wonderful. Okay, let's continue with our worship and the psalm reading from Psalm 119 is a wonderful prayer of response to a call to worship. In fact, I suggested it could be our prayer this morning as we begin worshiping. It reads, "Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I will find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. For I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life." Holy God, you call us together to reflect on your word and on your life in the world. Be with us now as we sing, pray, and together, and may we hear your voice and understand your way. This we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
All those songs that we will sing today are in the hymnal. Take the brown hymnal, number 89. We sing all four verses.
The Lord is King, all praise his name. For all the earth his praise proclaim. From age to age, from day to day, his wondrous rule more gloriously.
Can you stand, please? I forgot to mention it the first time. Okay, two.
Oh, see the mighty hand of God, his love and mercy changes heart, his blood and righteousness of men, his grace and pardon never fail. Here shall the song forever be of saints before the crystal sea. O Christ, that took the cross of blood and saved me through life's valley land. O stars that light the pilgrim's way, for Lord our Lord's our hope and stay. The hand to whom we bore with me, the rock to which our faith may.
Thank you. Be seated.
Good morning. Excuse me. The Bible reading today is taken from 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 11. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Okay, another hymn out of the hymnal. 5-5-6. 5-5-6. All four verses.
Oh, have you not?
Yeah.
Oh, have you not heard of that beautiful sting that goes through the mother's love? His father's name bright with heavenly light, and with the Lord golden sun. Oh, seek ye the beauty of spring. His waters go vain, but flowing for thee. Oh, sing that beautiful stream. His fountains are deep and his waters are pure, as sweet to the weary soul.
I'm just so glad that John said, let's sing all four verses. You know, as a preacher, the last thing I'd want John to say is, we don't want to hear point three and point four, just the first two verses, please, of your sermon. Oh, yeah, when we were singing that song, I'd love to walk in that beautiful, fresh stream right now with bare feet. Wouldn't that feel good on us? Whoo, feels good. Well, this morning we had an example, as Brother Peter shared with us, that there are so many of us here that have unspoken prayer requests, but are known to many of us. So in the middle of our pastoral prayer this morning, we are going to pause for a brief few moments that you might offer up before our Heavenly Father the names that are on your heart, that are on your mind. We will do that. We want to also acknowledge this morning, I notice in the bulletin that we have two graduates in our midst, both Jenna and Tommy. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Congratulations to you both. Now, Tommy, I want you to know that I'm a graduate of the University of Waterloo, but I understand you couldn't get into the arts program, so you had to go into engineering. Yes, I am an arts graduate from the University of Waterloo, but we have many good friends who are grads of the engineering program. All the best to you. And Jenna, may I also say that not only was I a student at Brock, I also taught at Brock University. Yes, I applied to the gender and women's studies, but I didn't get in, so there you go. So all the best to our grads and also to those that are anticipating their summer break from studies and so forth. That's wonderful. And we certainly will be holding in prayer our Pastor Randy as he has just a very brief time away on vacation break. And may I put in a personal request that please nobody get ill while Pastor Randy's away, okay? But I am available should you wish a pastoral call. But all the best to those. So thank you, Al, for leading us in our worship this morning, and to our worship team, thank you. Let's be in prayer this morning. It is our heart's desire, O God, that we might follow your decrees, to keep them throughout our life, to the very end of our days. May we keep your holy word. For graduates, as they enter the next chapter of their life, for students, staff, and teachers, as they anticipate a change. It's been a tough year with COVID, with restrictions, with playing catch up. Grant, O God, that there might be a time of refreshment and renewal, and that we might continue to walk in those refreshing moments, those refreshing streams, that we might fall in love with you, O God, our triune God, over and over and over again, as you walk with us and as you talk with us and as you teach us through your holy word. Teach us, O God, even in the autumn years of our life, and the winter years of our life, that we might be found faithful to the very end of our life's journey. Thank you for faithful men and for faithful women, young adults, who are rising up and taking positions of responsibility, not only in community and in professions, but also in local churches across our great land of Canada. We pray, Father God, that you might have your hand upon the lives of those children and youth within our congregation, that they might see the examples of faithfulness in their peers, not only, but also in those who are of ancient years. Undertake, God, we pray, for us as a congregation. We've been reminded this morning that there are so many who have unspoken but very deep needs of body, of mind,
and of soul. And yes, we hold before you, God, those whom we have been asked to pray for. And we give thanks to you for the measure of grace that you give us moment by moment and day by day that we are able to endure. We hold before you, God, and your throne of mercy, your throne of grace, your enabling power, loved ones, whom we name in silence before you. For those, O God, who serve faithfully amongst us, who care for the building, who care for the property, who care for the souls, who care for the agenda and the future of this congregation, we bring them before you. For those who serve on committees, on ministry teams, thank you for members of church council, pastoral search committee, those in spiritual Christian formation. We thank you for the faithfulness of those whom you've given to us amongst the staff, for Eileen in the office, for Taya, for Randy. Undertake for them, God, that they might not grow weary in their well-doing. We have brought before you, God, our tithes and offerings. May they be an act of worship. We offer them to you in the name of our great God and Savior, who has blessed us with all spiritual and material blessings. On this Lord's Day morning, we bring before you the troubled spots around this world, not only where there is armed conflict, as in Ukraine, but in regions around the world that are experiencing extreme poverty and famine and drought. For our neighbors to the south, in the midst of their angst and anxiety and frustrations, that there might be a spirit of peace that would envelop that land. And as we have been reminded already this morning, Lord Jesus Christ, we seek to build on the cornerstone. As Brother Aaron would anticipate opening the scriptures to us and reminding us of some blessed truths, we ask God that you would give him clarity of thought and clarity of speech, and that we as members of the listening audience might be receptive and responsive to the word that he would share this day. Bring blessing upon him and bring encouragement, instruction to us who listen. Speak, Lord, for we, thy servants, are listening. Amen.
Good morning. Would you pray with me once again? Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for each person that you have brought to this place this morning. And I pray that as we open your word, would you speak to our hearts and help us to hear the message that you want us to hear. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, it is great to be up here today sharing with you from God's word. For those of you who might be wondering what this young guy is doing at the pulpit, my name is Aaron Friesen. I've been attending this church my whole life. I was baptized here in 2017, and I've been involved in many different aspects of church life most recently with the Pastoral Search Committee. Pastor Randy reached out a couple months ago to say that they were looking to hear from some of the younger members of the church and over the summer, so I said I was happy to take the opportunity. We find ourselves in a period of transition here at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church as we search for a new lead pastor. I know that this has brought up feelings of anxiety within our congregation as we think about both the present and the future of church life. As I thought about what message I wanted to share with you all, I was drawn to the passage from 1 Corinthians that was read for us this morning, and to the idea of Jesus Christ as the foundation of the church. And it reminded me of this. If we could get it on the slides. Thank you. Maybe you've seen this before. It's just in the front foyer out those doors. For many of the early years of my life, I passed by that stone every Sunday and never gave it a second look. And yet those three words that are engraved on it have so much meaning. Christ, our foundation. I think this is an important reminder for us as Christians, and especially for our church during this transitional period. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians this morning, and I find it often helps me to think about context when I'm reading my Bible, so let's start there. This is the first of two letters in our New Testament that were written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth, a port city in ancient Greece. And as recounted in the book of Acts, chapter 18, Paul came to Corinth as a missionary and established a community of Jesus followers before moving on to other cities in the ancient world. However, a while later, Paul started hearing about some problems in the Corinthian church, and he wrote this letter to address the issues that they were dealing with. The first problem that Paul writes about has to do with divisions that had been forming within the Corinthian church over leadership. As we see in chapter 1, verse 12, some of the Corinthians were calling themselves followers of Paul, some of another teacher named Apollos, and even some of the apostle Peter, who's called Cephas in the text. And this division was causing conflict within the body of Christ in Corinth. But in chapter 3, our passage for this morning, Paul tells the Corinthians that they are completely missing the point. As followers of Jesus, Christ is our foundation. So what does this really mean? What implications does this statement have for us as a community of believers? If we really thought about it, I think there would probably be too many for me to cover in one sermon. But this morning, I hope to share with you some of the important ideas that we can take from 1 Corinthians 3 as we move forward in our search for pastoral leadership. So first off, if Christ is our foundation, we have some work to do. When a foundation is laid, something is coming, which means there's preparation that needs to be done. And based on the situations that the Corinthians had found themselves in at the time of Paul's writing, they had not prepared well. Paul states earlier in the letter that he had made a point of not speaking eloquently or in a way that would convey his own wisdom during his time in Corinth, because he didn't want his speaking to distract from the power of the actual message, that being Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And as he states in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." And yet, it can be implied from this letter that the Corinthians didn't really get this, and some may have even been dissatisfied with Paul as the leader of their church, because he didn't portray the persona of wisdom that they were looking for. So they sought out other leaders, people like Apollos, in an effort to find someone who they perceived to be more wise in their knowledge of God. They wanted to go deeper. But as we see in the opening of chapter 3, Paul tells the Corinthians that their division and their fighting over church leaders proves that they are not ready for this deeper knowledge. They are still infants in their faith, still in need of milk, not solid food, as he puts it. The Corinthians had not prepared well. So, what should they have done instead? Paul writes in chapter 2 that God's true wisdom is revealed to us not by human beings, but through the Holy Spirit. And we know that we are filled with the Spirit when we are living in the way exemplified for us by Jesus. What did Jesus say about conflict and division? In Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24, during his famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells his Jewish audience that if they are giving an offering to God, and then remember that a brother or sister has something against them, they are to leave immediately and make things right with this person before returning to make their offering. Now, giving offerings to God was an incredibly important part of the Jewish religion. So for Jesus to suggest that settling a conflict with another person was more important to God than their sacrifices was quite the radical idea. Jesus was telling them to reorient their lives around living in peace and love with others. How should we be preparing ourselves as a church for the person that God is calling to be the next lead pastor of St. Catherine's United Mennonite? If Christ is our foundation, this kind of love should be at the center of everything we do. The kind of love that makes loving people a priority, as Jesus did. And we can act this out by welcoming the community into our church, no matter who they are, or even just by saying something nice to someone you haven't talked to in a while on a Sunday morning. This kind of love creates a church that is ready to receive new pastoral leaders. Not only that, but when we are living as Jesus showed us, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, our ultimate guidance and wisdom during this period of transition that we find ourselves in. Secondly, if Christ is our foundation, we have our instructions. When a foundation is in place, what comes with it are instructions for building. Everything that comes next must be built off of the foundation. It is the same way in a church community, where our faith in Christ is that foundation. And in our case, Jesus himself has provided us with the instructions that we need to live out this faith through the example of his life and his teachings. One of the important values that we learn from Jesus is that of humility. As Paul writes in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 7, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Going back to our passage in 1 Corinthians, Paul applies this principle from the life of Christ to himself, stating that both he and Apollos are only servants through whom he came to believe, in verse 5. What is the role of a servant in relation to God? Paul uses the metaphor of planting to explain that while we can plant a seed and give it water, only God can make it grow. Someone like the pastor of a church is certainly important to the planting and the watering. As Paul says in verse 8, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. They will each be rewarded according to their own labor. But they are really a servant of God, for only he can produce growth. Though we don't have a pastor right now, God is still growing the seeds that have been planted here at St. Catherine's United Mennonite. It's not just pastors who can water those seeds. Each of us has a part to play in accomplishing God's will for the church. Paul tells us that the Lord has assigned to each his task, and that we are co-workers in God's service. As such, we as Christians are called to live out the instructions given to us by Jesus, and to be attentive to how God wants to use us for his purpose. This brings to my mind our church's mission statement, sent to be the hands, feet, and voice of Jesus. It sounds nice, but it can be easy to overlook that there's a call to action here. We might sometimes ask ourselves the question, what would Jesus do? But this is more complex than that. This mission statement begs the question, what did Jesus do with his hands? Where did he go with his feet? What did he say with his voice? We are declaring that as a community of believers, we are committed to a deep knowledge of the true Jesus and to a life that is based on his words and actions. This is what it means for Christ to truly be our foundation. Maybe God wants us to do something new as a church. Maybe he's calling us to go into unfamiliar territory. Maybe he wants us to say something a little uncomfortable or even scary. Are there new ministries that we could be implementing, new outreach initiatives we could be exploring, new conversations that we could be having? If we really are servants of God, these are questions that we should be pondering as a church, remembering that we have Jesus' example to instruct us as we move into the future. Lastly, if Christ is our foundation, we can keep building. With a foundation laid, it is time to build. And so long as that foundation is intact, we can keep building. That means even though we don't have a pastor right now, we are not stagnant as a church. There are still so many things that we can be doing to foster our own spiritual growth, to form genuine and uplifting relationships with those in our church family, and to be an example of Christ's love in our community. Having said this, Paul does offer us some words of caution in verses 10 and 11. He explains that we must take care to ensure that all of our actions are rooted in Jesus and in the eternal life that we have received through his death on the cross. For when we stray from our foundation in Christ, whatever we are attempting to build will crumble. This means that simply accepting the message of the gospel as true and then moving on with our previously scheduled lives is not enough. The incredible grace that we have received from God demands a direct response through our words and our actions. So how do we respond? If Christ is our foundation, our words and our actions should ultimately point back to him. This is true for us individually as Christians, but also for us as a church body. Let's put it this way. If Christ is the foundation of our church, then it's not really our church, is it? It's not about us or what we want, but about fulfilling God's will for St. Catherine's United Mennonite. As such, we don't have ownership of this church. I know that might require a shift in mentality for many of us, but let's look to Paul as our example. Upon hearing about all of the problems the Corinthian church was dealing with, a church that he started, Paul specifically reminded them where their true loyalties should lie. Now, he probably could have easily said to them, "Look, I started this church, this is what I want you to do." But that's not what Paul does. He humbles himself as a servant of God's will. How can we be seeking God's will for our church? I certainly don't have this all figured out, but it seems to me that this passage from 1 Corinthians provides us with a set of guiding principles to keep in mind as we move forward. Now, part of seeking God's will absolutely include the continued prayerful and diligent search for a new lead pastor, someone who lives a spirit-filled life and is well-equipped to be an integral part of our church's future. But that's not all it is. If Christ is our foundation, he must be present in every aspect of church life. I believe this starts with prayer. It is so crucial that we invite God to be present in what we are doing at St. Catherine's United Mennonite, because his wisdom and guidance transcend whatever it is that we think we can do on our own. And we extend this invitation through prayer. Our conversations with God ultimately help prepare our hearts to love in the way that Jesus did. I don't think we can ever do enough praying as a church, so let's continue to make this a constant practice in our lives. Next comes action. As servants of God, we know that each of us is called to live out the instructions that are found in the life and teachings of Jesus. Doing so requires that we make it a priority to both spend time reading our Bibles and to gather as a community of believers to hear from God's word. This is how we learn what exactly we're supposed to be doing as Christians and then put it into practice. With Christ as our example, we as a church should be seeking new ways to grow in our ministries, to reach out to our community, and to engage in important conversations, remembering our mission statement to actually be the hands, feet, and voice of Jesus. Finally, let us not be discouraged, no matter what the future holds. It may be a while before we find a new lead pastor. This transitional period that we find ourselves in might last longer than we want it to. It may take us in directions we don't feel entirely comfortable going. However, we must remember that we are God's church, and he has a purpose and plan for us, even now. Because with Christ as our foundation, we are in good hands. Amen.
Thank you, Aaron. The foundation is there. Where are the workers? Very good. Thank you. Another song out of the hymnal, 582. 582. You sing two verses and then the benediction and the next verse.
I'm pressing on the upward way. Blue flags I'm gaining every day. When praying was I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay, when doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these are found, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land.
Can we stand, please?
As you go, may I leave you with these words of blessing from Philippians 1. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen.
Verse 3 and 4.
I want to live above the world, though Satan's dart at me are hurled. For great has God, the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plan than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost line and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still my faith till them I found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Please sit down.